Just before Amos gives us all a formal welcome, can I just make one or two brief announcements? Firstly, why we're here, as many of you will know, we're installing two new boilers in the church. Unfortunately, the pipe work outside has been delayed for a week or two. And with the temperature as it is this time of year, we thought it best to end here this week and next week. All being well, we'll be back in the church the week after. But that's why. There's nothing untoward happening. It's all for the good. When we're in here, the words, as usual, will be on the screen. I appreciate when everybody stands to sing, you might not be able to see. So feel free either to move about a wee bit, but bear in mind there could be people behind you. Or if you do want a hymn book, we have a good supply at the back there. And speaking about hymns, the second hymn, if you are following it in a hymn book, we will not be singing a chorus between verses 1 and 2 and verses 3 and 4. So it'll be chorus, verse 1, verse 2, chorus, verse 3, verse 4, chorus. So if you're not sure, don't get too carried away at the start of each bit, and you'll soon pick it up from the choir and the rest of us. And that's enough for me, and I'll leave Amos to welcome us all.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. On behalf of all of us here in Newport on Tay, I would like to welcome you all to this service of public worship. And I would like to welcome especially those who are worshiping with us for the first time this morning. I don't seem to see any. Or doing so after a long while. And it's always good to see Evelyn coming through to worship with us on Sunday mornings. After the service, we will have teas and coffee, so you don't need to move. We are in the right place. So just stay where you are and enjoy yourselves. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 465, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart.
Oh,
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, drawn by your Spirit, humbled by your greatness, and grateful for your endless love. We gather here in Newport on Tay, a congregation of varied stories and backgrounds, yet united in our need for your grace and truth. As we reflect on choosing life and the legacy we leave behind, we are reminded that our strength and discernment are often flawed without you guiding our path. We are here to seek your wisdom, to honor you, and to recenter our hearts upon you. Lord, we confess that we often trust in our own confidence, pursuing what we think is right while disregarding your direction. We have chosen the paths of pride and self-reliance, ignoring the still small voice that calls us back to you. We acknowledge that sometimes we prefer our comfort over your will and our desires over the needs of those around us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have ignored the call to choose life, life that is filled with love, mercy, and justice. Forgive us for the ways we have fallen short, for the choices that reflect self-interest rather than compassion, for the moments we have allowed fear and doubt to draw us away from your love. Help us to reject the spiritual death that comes from disconnection from you and from others. Teach us to recognize the empty pursuits and distractions that lead us away from your path. Renew our hearts, O God, so that we may be people who choose love, justice, and integrity, and who live lives of genuine, compassionate service. This we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. 345, Halle, Halle, Hallelujah.
Oh,
I just took a service at Wormy this morning, and they were so good in clapping. You were not so good this morning. Only a few people were clapping. Next time, we should do better. Hello, everyone. Can you stand, please? Just stand. I want us to do some exercises this morning. Can you stand? Good, stand. Not many of you are in church this morning. Now, let me begin with a few questions. How many of you really take instructions? If you know you do take instructions, that is, if you are told to go to bed, you just go to bed. If you are told not to eat something a lot, you just stop eating. For example, sweets or drinking juice and all that. If you know you really take instructions, I want to see your hand up. Are you sure? Kind of. All right. We are going to try now. So I'm going to give you some instructions. I want you to take only the instructions given by me. So if I say, Amos says, hands up, you put up your hands. Amos says, hands down, you put down your hands. If I say, hands up, that's not me. You have to hear, Amos says, hands up. Okay? And if you fail, then you will step away. We'll see who will get to the last. Okay? Amos says, hands up. Amos says, hands down. Amos says, clap one. Amos says, clap two. Clap one. All right. So two of you are out. Three of you are out. So we only have three left. Amos says, hands up. Hands down. Amos says, hands down. Clap one. Amos says, clap one. Clap two. All right, we'll end it there. Now, I think you people are pretty good at taking instructions, even though some of you failed, but it was confusing, right? Now, in the Bible, we have somebody called Moses, and Moses was speaking to the Israelites in those days, and he was telling them that they should choose between two things. They should choose life and not death. And another way of choosing life is to say that they should do good. They should do good. So let's take a few examples. For example, if you had the choice to be kind to somebody who actually needs help or to ignore that one, what would you choose to do? Help them. Let us clap for our children. At least you've covered up for the clapping that you didn't do during the singing. So you would help them and you'll be kind to them instead of ignoring them. And again, if you were playing with your toys and there was somebody you needed to share with a person, would you choose to share or not to share? You would choose to share. And we can go on and on and on. Maybe you come to school, you have your packed lunch, and there's one of your friends or classmates who doesn't have. What do you do? If the one is happy, you can share with them. So being good, being kind to one another is choosing life. Taking instructions. When you come back from school and mom or dad asks, do you have homework today? Yes. Are you going to do your homework? No. Is that good? You have to say yes, and you have to do your homework. So being kind, being good, sharing what we have with others, smiling is also a good thing. There are some people who struggle, but just with a smile, you make them happy. So these are the things that God asks us to do. Let us pray. God, our Father, we give you thanks for this morning and for your blessings over our lives. We thank you especially for these children. And we thank you for the things that they learn here in church, to be good to people, to be good to themselves, to be able to follow instructions, to choose the way of life. Bless them and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next theme, blessing and honor, glory and power. Ancient of this.
Our first reading from the Old Testament this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, reading verses 11 to 20. And page 209 if you're following in the Pew Bible or on the overhead. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands and decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the New Testament reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, reading verses 9 to 12, on page 1188. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Amen. And thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn, number 497, Almighty Father of All Things That Be. Oh,
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come to your word, we ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive your truth. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us so that we may understand the message you have for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My theme for this morning's sermon is choosing life, the legacy we leave behind. Choosing life, the legacy we leave behind. The story is told of a man who, while on vacation with his family, came across a sign that read, "Road closed, do not enter." Despite the clear warning, he was convinced that taking the closed road would save them time. His wife expressed her doubts, but with unwavering confidence, he insisted on continuing. As they navigated the road successfully for a few miles, the man could not help but boast of his so-called discernment. But his smile quickly faded when they arrived at a washed-out bridge, forcing him to turn back. As they retraced their steps, they were greeted by words written in large letters on the back of the original sign, "Welcome back, stupid." Sometimes we charge ahead with utmost confidence in our own abilities, convinced that we know best, even when the signs say otherwise. We ignore the warnings and the wisdom around us, relying instead on our own instincts. But confidence, as the story shows, is only as good as the foundation it is placed on. Life has a way of humbling us, reminding us that true discernment often comes not from our own sense of direction, but from trusting in something greater than ourselves. And this story serves as an apt introduction to our reflection, first from Deuteronomy 30:11-20. Here we find Moses standing at the threshold of his life's journey, delivering one last impassioned speech to the people he has led for decades. With the promised land before them, Moses is aware that his time is drawing to a close, and he knows that the choices his people make going forward will shape not only their own destinies, but also the future of generations to come. Standing at the edge of the journey, Moses implores them, "I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live." This call to choose life is not simply about avoiding physical death. Moses speaks of deeper spiritual realities. Life represents the path of love, integrity, justice, and relationship with God. Death, by contrast, is not just the cessation of heartbeat and breath, but the slow decay of the soul, marked by the pursuit of empty pleasures, the loss of compassion, and the alienation from God and community. Moses makes it clear that the commandments of God are not distant, unattainable ideals. Rather, they are written in the very fabric of our hearts, waiting for us to live them out. Now imagine for a moment writing your own obituary. Not just a bland list of milestones and achievements, but an honest portrayal of who you were at your core. What would it say? Would it speak of love, generosity, and service, or would it reveal a life spent in self-centered pursuits? Moses reminds the Israelites that ultimately they are writing their obituaries each day through every choice they make. It is not the great moments of victory that define us, but the daily decisions, often small and unseen, that reveal who we truly are. Choosing life is about rejecting the slow decay of the soul, a death that comes not from physical cessation, but from living a life disconnected from God and from others. This death comes in the form of pursuing empty pleasures, losing empathy, and growing distant from what truly matters. Choosing life, on the other hand, means orienting ourselves towards love, justice, and mercy, even when those paths are difficult. The philosopher Gotthold Lessing, in his story Nathan the Wise, illustrates a father's dilemma of choosing which of his three sons would inherit a valuable ring that symbolized wisdom. Instead of choosing one son, the father had two identical replicas made and gave each of his sons a ring, leaving them unsure of who possessed the real one. In time, Lessing suggests the true bearer of wisdom would be revealed by his actions. Moses leaves the people of Israel with a similar choice. How they live their lives will reveal whether they have truly chosen wisdom, justice, and love. The measure of a meaningful life, then, is not the symbols we carry, but the values we embody and the love we show through our actions. My dear Christian friends, Paul's reflection in 1 Thessalonians 4:9-12 echoes Moses' words. While Moses calls the people to choose life, Paul speaks to the early church about the importance of brotherly love and living responsibly in the present. The Thessalonians were excited by the idea of Christ's imminent return, but had lost balance. They abandoned their work and became dependent on others, mistaking spiritual anticipation for an excuse to avoid responsibility. Paul urges them, just as Moses urged the Israelites, to grow in love, lead a balanced life, and be faithful in everyday tasks. Aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, Paul advises. This counsel is not about detachment from the world, but about staying rooted in faithfulness, rejecting restlessness, and demonstrating inner peace. True life, one that honors God, is not found in dramatic gestures or in abandoning one's responsibilities in favor of spiritual enthusiasm. Instead, it is about consistent, intentional living. It is about fulfilling our daily obligations, loving others deeply, and honoring God through our actions. Soren Kierkegaard once wrote, "The purity of heart is to will one thing." Paul, like Moses, calls believers to focus on that one thing, to live a life that seeks to please God in everything. This involves love, balance, and purpose. Choosing life means striving for holiness in the everyday aspects of our existence, choosing actions that are rooted in love for God and others, no matter how mundane those actions might seem. Choosing life also means rejecting the allure of death. That is, a life driven by the pursuit of material success, revenge, or ego. It means guarding against the creeping emptiness that comes when we live disconnected from our purpose and our Creator. And we see examples of this death in addiction, in unchecked ambition, and in the disconnection that comes from placing wealth and status above human connection and empathy. Ultimately, Moses and the apostle are asking each of us, what kind of legacy will you leave behind? When our time comes, will the story of our lives reflect a commitment to God, to love, and to others? Will our obituary, whether written or simply lived, testify to a life well lived in service to something greater than ourselves. My dear friends, choose life and don't forget your purpose. There is another story of a preacher who, while in Atlanta several years ago, came across a curious listing in the restaurant section of the Yellow Pages. It was called Church of God Grill. Intrigued by the unusual name, he decided to call the place. The phone was answered by a cheerful voice. "Hello, Church of God Grill here." The curious preacher asked how the restaurant got its peculiar name. The man on the line explained, "Well, we used to run a small mission here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sundays to help pay the bills. People loved the chicken, and business was so good that we ended up cutting back on the church services. Eventually, we stopped holding services altogether and just kept selling chicken dinners. But we kept the name we started with, Church of God Grill." Friends, as we reflect on this story, it is easy to see how something that began with a noble purpose lost its way. The mission was good. The intentions were genuine. But slowly, without even realizing it, the purpose became blurred. What began as a service to God ended up as a mere business, a grill serving chicken. The story of the Church of God Grill serves as a reminder to each of us not to forget our true purpose. Today, as we conclude this reflection, let us remember the words of Jesus Christ in Mark 12:28-34. When asked which commandment was the greatest, he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." These words remind us of our true purpose: to love God fully with everything we are and to love others as ourselves. It is the very essence of what it means to choose life. Just as the Church of God Grill lost sight of its mission, we too can easily get caught up in the busyness of life, chasing achievements, seeking comfort, or getting lost in distractions. But Jesus calls us back to what matters most: loving God and loving others. Choosing life, as Moses called the Israelites to do and as Paul exhorted the Thessalonians, ultimately means choosing love, love for God and love for others. Life is not about grand gestures or worldly accolades. It is about the quality of our love and the way that love transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary. It is about letting our love for God overflow into every part of our lives, turning our everyday actions into acts of worship. When we choose to live this way, when we love with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, we remain anchored in our true purpose. We avoid the subtle drift that turned a church into a restaurant, and instead we write a legacy of love, compassion, and faithfulness. We build lives not centered on fleeting successes, but on relationships transformed and hearts touched by the power of God's love. Today, as you leave this place, go with the confidence that you are deeply loved by an unchanging God. Go knowing that the choice to live a life of love is always within reach. It is written on your heart by the one who created you. Go rejoicing, for our God is with us, guiding us and empowering us to fulfill our purpose. Let us commit ourselves anew to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let us choose life, life abundant and eternal, As we do so in God's presence, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us of our true purpose and for calling us to choose life, a life anchored in your love, a life that reflects your grace, and a life committed to the mission you have entrusted to us. Lord, we confess that at times we have strayed from this purpose. We have allowed pride, misunderstandings, and the cares of this world to lead us away from the path you have set before us. We ask for your forgiveness, O God, and for your strength to help us return to the heart of our calling. Renew our minds and transform our hearts, that we may always be aligned with your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. 543. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we bring these gifts before you today, grateful for all that you have provided. We dedicate this offering to your service, that it may be used to further your kingdom here on earth. May these gifts be a blessing to those in need. a sign of hope for the weary, and an instrument of your love in the world. We come before you with grateful hearts, acknowledging the many blessings we enjoy as a church family here in Newport-on-Tay. Thank you for the love, joy, and sense of belonging that we share in this congregation, a community of different ages and backgrounds, united in worshiping you. We thank you for the lives you have blessed us with and for the privilege of joining together in faith. We lift up our community, praying that your light will shine brightly among us, that we may be a beacon of hope and love. Bless our church, that it may be a place of compassion and unity, where each person is valued and cared for. We pray for our nation, the United Kingdom, and for Scotland, that you would guide all who have a hand in shaping our collective future. Lord, we also remember those who need your comfort today. We pray for the sick, the anxious, and those who mourn. May your healing presence be felt by those in pain, and may your peace that surpasses all understanding guard the hearts of the anxious. Comfort those who grieve, Lord, and help them to know that you are closer to them, and especially to the brokenhearted. We especially pray for those who have passed into your glory. Grant them eternal rest, and let perpetual light shine upon them. Be with their families and loved ones, offering them strength in their time of sorrow and the hope of resurrection. Father, as we reflect on the choices before us, help us to choose life, a life that honors you, filled with love, compassion, and service. May our actions today and every day be a testimony to your goodness, and may our legacy be one of faithfulness, kindness, and commitment to your will. We ask you to empower us through your Spirit to live lives that embody love, love for you and for one another. Help us to walk humbly with you, choosing life in all its fullness, guided by your wisdom and reflecting your glory in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. A final hymn, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King, is on page 2 of the order of service. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.